Topic 2. Unit 4A. Exercises 2 and 3.
Winston Churchill. David Lloyd George.
Beaconsfield. Never even heard of him.
And this one says, Ian Christian Smuts, 1870 to 1950.
And last but not least, at the corner of the square, Nelson Mandela. And it's very exciting, because behind this white tent in front of me, I know they're erecting a statue of Millicent Fawcett, the early feminist campaigner, to join this pantheon of men in Parliament Square. With all the recent celebrations commemorating some women getting the vote 100 years ago, I think it's important to remember that these early feminist campaigners regarded getting the vote as one small part of a much bigger movement towards female equality. And central to that was the idea of equal pay. I've dug out this wonderful article by Millicent Fawcett, written in the Economic Journal in 1918. She wrote,
I can see no reason why the principle of equal pay for equal work should not, in the course of a few years, find an almost universal acceptance.
And here we are, 100 years later, women have been exercising their right to vote in roughly proportionate numbers to men for decades. And yet, women are still struggling to get equal pay in the workplace.
The gender pay gap is the difference between average hourly pay between women and men.
I've asked Sam Smithers, chief executive of the campaign group, the Fawcett Society, to help me understand the current gender pay gap.
If you look at the full-time mean average gap, that's if you include the highest earners and lowest earners to calculate the average, then you're looking at just under 14%. What we're seeing is a gap that hasn't shifted for the last 3 years. So it's actually a very static picture on the pay gap, which is one of the reasons why there's, you know, a renewed pressure to try and close it, because everyone realises actually that progress has stalled, but it's incredibly slow to shift.
So why do we have this pay gap today, Sam?
What we see, when you look at that pay gap figure, it's effectively a number that's comprised of multiple things. So pay discrimination is one of those factors. You also have the factor that women are concentrated in lower paid work and men are in higher paid jobs. And that's going to give you your gap. That happens for multiple reasons. It's a male-dominated work culture. It's the kind of work practices, the hours, the lack of quality part-time jobs at the top of the ladder, which means that women who want to reduce their hours end up having to reduce in their pay and their potential for earnings, if you see what I mean. So it's about progress as well through the labour market. It's not only about where you currently are, it's about what you can go on to achieve in the labour market. So having children is one of the big factors that sets women off on a track to earn less than men. And then the other big factor, as if we didn't have enough to already worry about, is just occupational segregation. So the kinds of jobs that women are employed in versus the kinds of jobs that men are employed in. So where you see science and technology subjects, engineering, for example, overwhelmingly those jobs are still male dominated and they tend to pay more. Women are going into jobs which are lower paid on average and valued less. Say the caring professions, that's the reality. And so all of those factors all combine to give us the gender pay gap.
Sam sums up the situation of today's workplace perfectly. But these things don't come from nowhere. And as a social historian, I'm interested to know more about why working patterns take the form they do. I think looking at the historical nature of gender, work and pay would allow us to understand why the gender pay gap is proving so difficult to close. Some of these themes that Sam is talking about, the segregation of work for men and for women, and how women's work has typically been undervalued, are very old indeed. After all, in the Bible, the Lord tells Moses that the Israelites should place the value of female servants at 3/5 that of male servants. Papyrus that has survived from Roman Egypt reveal both a gender-specific division of labour and much lower rates of pay for women's work. Wherever the historical evidence has survived, it indicates gendered patterns of work and unequal rates of pay.